You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are now listening to TDL. SilverAndBlackPride.com.
This play used to be run with 100 Rugs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
Yeah, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It's your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. We are back. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Right? Hit the subscribe button. Go ahead and hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. All that good stuff, guys. And you guys already know what to do. You see everything at the bottom here. Go ahead and hit that manscaped.com discount code. TDL, go ahead and do that as well, right? So go ahead and get that started, and then go ahead and get you some shirts from the TDL Blackout as well, or a sweater. You know, it's winter time right now, starting to get a little colder in different places. It's gonna be 0 degrees in Buffalo this Saturday. So definitely, if you live out there, I'm in Buffalo, and maybe you're a Raiders fan. I don't know why you would be if you live in Buffalo, but never know, right? You guys got want to suit up and get you some sweaters. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I'm making all the rounds today. I saw that. Yeah. I've actually been on a podcast adventure this whole week. Yeah. Caught COVID and got lucky. They got lucky. I got a bunch of time. All right. So, at the Mark John NFL, follow me on Twitter at BDWilliams18 for BD. BD, how are you feeling about this playoff Raiders?
Yeah, it's surreal, you know. Obviously, as a fan, I'm geeked that my team made the playoffs, you know. And I love the way that they made the playoffs, because before, when they lost to the Chiefs and, you know, they were looking bad and they were still technically in the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at the team, I'm like, shoot, even if they make the playoffs, like, this is not going to end good. They look terrible, you know what I'm saying? But last 4 weeks, they've definitely made huge improvements. And so now you feel a lot better about their chances going into the playoffs than, you know, having this kind of play. Some good things on defense, some not so good things on defense. You know, it was really interesting going through the all 22, because, at first, I'm like, man, they're running a lot of man coverage. They usually don't run as much man coverage as this. Mm-hmm. But when everything is a third and long and a fourth and long, you're getting into, like, your third and long playbook, which is going to be, you know, your changeups, right? Mm-hmm. So half the game was those, you know, plays, like a third and long play, a fourth and long play, half the game. So yeah, the Raiders did play a lot of man coverage technically, you know, and they did solid. They did okay. But there was definitely some errors, some big, you know, misses, you know what I'm saying? So not super encouraging going up against Cincy, who they're a great passing team. So, they're going to have to keep on making these improvements in coverage for sure.
Yeah. For the offense, I thought the offense started off a little shaky in this game, which is interesting because they were able to put up points early on. But I thought they were a little shaky, especially in the first half. I thought they didn't – I mean, they were able to move the football, but, I mean, there's a couple of, you know, a little bit of some fluke plays that happened. And, you know, the first drive was okay, but then, you know, they got the fumble and they were able to capitalize on that. I thought they were a lot better in the red zone this week, though. I thought that was something that the – I mean, I think they were – only kicked one field goal from there, if I remember. I don't know, people let me know if I'm wrong there, but I feel like they have more touchdowns in the red zone this week, usually. Maybe they were like 3 of 5, maybe 60% there. So I think, you know, being better there was a little bit encouraging, but I think from overall, from like a success rate and moving the ball with efficiency, I think they struggled a little bit. But as the game went along, I thought they got better in the third quarter. At the third quarter, they played really well. They were able to, you know, build a lead basically on offensively. I thought Carr played a lot better in the third quarter than he did in the first half. So I did like that. I like how they finished. You know, and Jacobs was awesome. The end of that game, man, he was fantastic. I've never seen him run like that. You know, the last 3 weeks, man, he's second in the league.
Last 3 weeks, yeah.
He's second from week 16 to week 18. He's second in the league in rushing. It's 374 yards, something crazy like that. 4.8 yards per carry the last 3 weeks of the season. So, dude, he's been going off, right? You know, if they can ride that into the playoffs, man, that's why I feel like there's a lot of confidence. I have a lot of confidence in Josh Jacobs. If anybody else, I got a confidence that Josh is going to show up. And he's been a different monster since week 16. And he's just kind of, you know, quarterbacks get the carried on their back. Josh kind of put this team on his back a little bit too, man. Even the tone setting of the first Colts drive, you know what I mean? Like, that set the tone for that whole game. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't for play. You know what I mean? Like, we're not the Raiders you guys thought. Where he came in, he punched you right in the mouth and right down the field and scored a touchdown. So I think a lot of that has to do with Josh Jacobs and his mentality, and they gotta take on the mentality of a rushing football team. I think that means a lot more play action than I'm seeing, which I want to see more play action this week. They gotta take that mentality of, we are a team that's gonna come be physical with you, and because the Bengals are not a physical team, so if they can take that and punch them in the mouth and come with some grown man stuff, I think that's a good look going forward. They could bring a physicality. It's cold, man. You don't want to get hit all the time.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be a battle of attrition, you know, in the elements for sure. We'll see, you know, how effective both these quarterbacks are throwing the ball. You know, when it gets cold, how effective the wide receivers are going to be catching the ball when it's cold. You know, obviously Cincinnati, they've been playing in these elements, you know, but some of these guys are young players, you know, so we'll see how ready they are for that. But something I wanted to bring up before we start getting too much into Cincinnati was, I think the third quarter, okay, was, in my opinion, where the game was won for the Raiders. Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at defensively, they had a 6 to start the third quarter, start the second half. They had a 6-play drive, gave up a 6-play, 38-yard drive. Mm-hmm. Resulted in a missed field goal. Then the 4-play, 7-yard drive that was the going for it on, you know, your own 18-yard line, that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turnover on downs. Then the next drive was a 3-play, 0-yard drive, resulted in a punt. And then the next drive was a 3-play, 5-yard drive that resulted in the interception to Casey Hayward. So basically three and outs, right? Mm-hmm. Plus some turnovers, great field position for the offense and the offense turned that into 13 points. Right. So, you know, for me, like that's when really the Raiders, amassed enough of a lead that made, you know, the Chargers play desperation. And they, like you said, they're not built for, you know, that they're not built for coming back necessarily from like a huge lead. Obviously they tied it up, right? But it took them the entire fourth quarter to do that, to do those things. It's not like the Chiefs where it was like 3 plays and they're back in it. You know, it's like, no, they had to do a 15-play drive.
19, you know, then 19-play. Yeah, you know,
like 19-play drive. You know, like if that's how you score, 19, if it takes you 19 plays to score, coming back from a deficit, you're in tough water. You're making a real tough job for yourself there. So I really think the third quarter is where the Raiders won that game. Great complimentary football, you know, in terms of what the offense and the defense were bringing to the table.
Yeah, you know, just like that interception late. I mean, they got an extra 3 points, which gave them that little bit of the cushion that they're able to hold on to and at least allow it to go to overtime. You know, so that last interception, that turnovers, they were able to score off turnovers. You know, even just getting three on that that one fourth when they went for it on fourth down on the 18-yard line, which, you know, we talked about it before the game, how, you know, Brandon Staley, he's gonna mess up, he's gonna have all that, you're gonna be killing him for all week for everything that he's doing. So yeah. He kind of got that, but then, you know, they kicked that field goal, they got another three, and then they got a touchdown after that. And then they got another three, and they're able to build that lead. You know what I mean? And then they have that lead long enough to hold on to it. But I mean, it's funny, you know, just because, I mean, basically they got the game of Justin Herbert's life in the fourth quarter. You know, JT O'Sullivan did a QB school. Guess where he started the QB school, bro? He didn't start like early. He didn't start from the beginning of the game. It started from like basically the fourth quarter and on. Right. And that's what I mean. Cause I mean, he had probably like 38 throws probably from fourth quarter to overtime, right? And so it's a lot of tape, but I mean, he basically turns it on, and I mean, I've never seen him play like that. So
in the way he played before, again, so. it's volume because quarterbacks don't get that opportunity to be like fourth and ten, you know, like opportunities to, like, you know, like eventually your coach is going to punt it. Like, no one has the stomach for that except for this guy Staley, right? It's crazy. So, but it's, again, it's volume, so much volume, you know, like that, you're going to have some great, like, there's a couple great throws that I'm going to show, like lasers, right?
Yeah.
But you know, if it's like one in every, you know, every four throws, only one of them is one of these lasers. And the other three are just like, okay, that's not a great thrower. He sailed it, or he missed that read, or something like that, you know? So yeah, like Justin Herbert, there was a lot of great moments, but he could have driven the ball down a lot easier than he did, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, 100%. I mean, their offense. Thank God for Joe Lombardi. So we got Joe Lombardi over there. They haven't said anything about firing him, so we're getting another year of good old Joe. He almost ruined Matthew Stafford, so we're good. Let's go, Joe. He ain't gonna change. That offense ain't gonna change. I mean, this could be the same offense next year. I love it. They're gonna start off like 0-3 or something, because everybody's gonna know what they're doing. It's hilarious.
Right?
Can't wait. All right. So, who's going first, PD? What do you want to do?
Why don't you go first? I'm gonna send it to commercial, and then you go first.
All right, cool.
All right, just a moment.
Hey, you fellas! This episode of Tape Don't Lie is brought to you by our favorite producers of grooming tools, Manscaped, the global leaders in below the waist grooming. Are leaving 2021 with a new product. Clean yourself into the new year with their ultra premium body wash. Also, special offer alert: use the code TDL for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. 4 million men already trust Manscaped. Time to join them.
All right. So today I'm going to be going over the Mariota package again, because we saw a lot of it. And it wasn't very successful this week, as it usually is. So we're going to go over that, and then we're going to check out Josh Jacobs in the fourth quarter, and then overtime. And then we're getting a little Bryan Edwards love today. We're gonna get some Bryan Edwards love today. You know, mix it up. You know, I thought he had a good game. So let's go ahead and check this out. Is this the share button not gonna work for me? Here we go. Hold up, your dog. The share button's not working here. What the hell? Yeah, you might have to go first, BD, until I figure this out. You're on mute, Doc. You're on mute.
All right. Okay. All right. I'll jump in, and you go ahead and try refreshing your browser.
Okay, I got you.
All right, cool. All right, Raider Nation. So here we go. We'll go ahead and break it down to you. All right. So first things first, Raiders got some great play from their corners. Okay, we got Trufant at the bottom of the screen here. Okay, we're going to get this backside curl, get that strong safety outside of that curl window, right? And so this should be a really automatic throw. We see Trufant get through here, break that up, doesn't do a great job there. Breaking that up, doesn't Trufant. He had an okay game, solid game. Here's, we're going to get into a little too high look. Okay, they're playing basically like a TCU special over these, over 2 and 3 with these two defenders and the safety. And Casey Hayward's going to be all by himself with this guy right here. And so we're going to get that vertical route. And Hayward, he's playing a risky technique here, giving his back to the receiver when he is in man coverage, but he knows he's just going to go ahead and bail, and he does a great job posting him, getting a little bit of a reroute right there, okay, and then getting his vision back on the quarterback. And when he does have the vision back on the quarterback, quarterback throws a little duck, and he's able now to basically play receiver, go and get the ball. Okay, here's another one. Brandon Faison at the top of the screen here. He's going to go ahead and let me just get my clicker right. He's going to get a double move here. Make sure he stays on top of this. Not getting fooled. Here he is again. He's in a man coverage rep at the top of the screen. Okay, he does such a great job. Staying so patient. Waiting, gets his hands on. He's playing the back shoulder. Okay, so he gets his head around. He's expecting the back shoulder. That's fine here, even though it goes over his head. He does enough to reroute him, okay, and stop that from being a catch. Okay, here's another one. We're going to get an inside release, and he just rides. And he does such a great job maintaining this outside leverage right in face on so that when the – it comes out here for the flag route, he's still in perfect position, throws off the timing of that. Now, every single, basically just with the volume of the passing offense that we just saw this weekend, every single player got beat in coverage at least once. Okay. It is what it is. Right. And on this play, this is unfortunate. Okay. Because we're in kind of like a prevent type of look here. Okay. We have three deep safeties. Okay, they're all on the goal line, so this is a prevent look. And what you're going to see here, what you should see here, okay, is these guys underneath playing with outside leverage on the guy in front of them, because where do they want to go in this situation? They want to have an out route, okay, maybe at the sticks, right? But they want to get out of bounds in this situation. We're in a 2-minute drill. It's at the end of the game. Okay. Casey Hayward gives up this catch here. Okay. And what I don't like about it is that he man turns and now he has inside leverage. He's inside of this guy at the top of the screen. And when he goes and he breaks to the out, okay, Hayward, he's not there. Now, I mean, and he gives up this catch. Okay. And I'm just going to rewind it just real quick. Okay, watch how, and we get a mirrored, we're getting a mirrored concept here. So we're getting the same exact route from this receiver at the bottom of the screen here. Get this little flag route, okay, to get out of bounds. And watch how Desmond Trufant plays it. He shuffles to get that outside leverage, okay, reroutes, and he's going to swing around and undercut this from this side. So he's playing this perfectly. Desmond Trufant playing this perfectly. He's getting ready to undercut this. He knows he has safety help over the top. He can be aggressive and maintain that outside leverage. Casey Hayward, for some reason, I don't know, that's a mental lapse on his part. And now here's another one. They're throwing something different. Like I said, Gus Bradley, he wouldn't do something different, but he did. Okay, we're going in the goal line. Okay, three deep man under look here, okay, with man across the board and a three-man rush, okay? And what's going to happen is that they're going to run the, this kind of concept on the goal line, okay, which is like, you know, what do they call this? All comebacks or something, Marcus?
Worked.
Say it again.
I can't believe this works. It's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So, but everyone's gonna sit on the goal line here, right? And it's really the Raiders are in a perfect defense because there's gonna be a double where the safeties are basically jumping the inside break, and then all these receivers who are going deep have a man on them. So every single one of these routes down here is completely doubled. Okay. And I just think it's a little, again, just a little lapse of technique. Got to squeeze this. If we're Casey Hayward, got to be a little tighter on this. Okay. And then for down Levitt, just like put your foot in the ground and just jump in front of that. Like, who cares? Like, go for it. Right. But you see all of these routes are doubled. The Raiders are in literally a perfect defense for this concept. And Herbert throws a laser in between two guys. Okay. Incredible throw. And then a lot of people were asking me about the 4th-and-21 play. I think that, I mean, I share the same sentiment with fans playing prevent defense. You see all these guys back here. They're playing prevent defense, right? Oftentimes you'll see like big plays happen against like, you know, super, super soft coverages. And I think that one of the reasons why they went ahead and played like this is because they were trying to play more of an aggressive prevent defense where they have deep safeties where they're playing man underneath, but they had a mistake. Okay. And now they come out in a cover four package. We're going to get obviously what Seattle four verticals, right? And we're going to have this safety poach the backside three, this safety stay on top of two, this corner on one, and now we have this corner, okay, who needs to stay on top of number one here to the backside, okay? And this is where the concept is going to happen. Here's where this route is going to be scored. I think that this is really on Devon Diablo, situationally not worrying about, okay, getting back out here for this flat route when it's a 4th-and-21, right? And staying in this curl window, okay? Letting the ball bring you out to this guy over here. Sit here in this curl window, double where the touchdown is, double where the sticks are. He gets caught out of position. He's way too wide out here, Devon Diablo, okay? And I think Faison also, you know, got caught a little bit there too. I think he could have done a better job covering that. Now, there were some coverage issues, okay? Now, I'm going to show you a concept that they ran a lot of, okay? If you notice, okay, if we draw a line down this hash on the short side of the field, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 eligible receivers on the short side of the field. They really tried to flood the boundary with receiving threats. And you see here, Teamer, he does a great job, even though he's a curl flat player on the backside, seeing, okay, on the snap, everyone's going weak. You see Teamer push, okay, to the opposite hash. He does a smart job pushing to the opposite hash and then breaking up this pass. Okay, so Teamer actually didn't have a terrible game. I was surprised going back. Here's another one. This throw is super late, okay, but he has a seam alert on the backside. This is just regular cover three. We're playing true zone on the backside, and then we're kind of playing a cover three match on the backside where these guys are basically going to take the backside verticals, man-to-man. Teamer, throw late. Throw definitely should have been upfield shoulder here. So not a great throw, but we see Teamer not give up on the play, rake the catch point, get a pass breakup. Great job. That's really what you need to do when you have that seam alert and the cover three. You got to defend the seams. So he did a great job there. Now here's another one from Teamer. I think that this is really inexplicable, honestly, because he does such a great job of, and you see at the top of his drop, once he gets to the bottom of the numbers, which is his landmark, okay, the bottom of the numbers, okay, he's going to flip his hips around, okay, and he's going to get his butt to the sideline and this is called sailing, okay, this drop here, and he's going to sink underneath okay, the flag or the corner of number two, okay? And he's in perfect positioning. And I think that what happens is when he sees this guy out of the corner of his eye, he starts to get greedy and he starts getting his eyes on Justin Herbert. And I think he must be expecting kind of like an outbreaking route. But then this turns into kind of like an out and up the sideline, okay? And Teamer just gets caught looking, right? So that's not great instincts, okay? It's at first, at least, it's good technique from Teamer, okay? If we see him, watch him here again, flips his hips, and now attach to this guy, get a contact geek, get your hands on him before you start peeking, because if he makes a move and you have your eyes on the quarterback, you have no idea where he's going, which is exactly what happened right here. Okay, so that's just a lapse. It's bad technique from Teamer. He can fix that. That's something that certainly can be fixed. So he got away with one. Now, really, okay, the main culprit, when I went back through the film, and people are not going to like this, okay, the main culprit giving up yards, okay, giving up catches was Nate Hobbs, okay, in coverage here. He's in cover three again. Sail this. Get your butt to the sideline and sink underneath, okay, that kind of like a flag route, the corner route, okay? And you see him here just a little late giving that one up in coverage. You saw a great closing speed, but again, don't give it up, okay? Now the Raiders are in a two-high scheme, okay? And what it's going to do is it's going to allow these underneath defenders to be aggressive and jump, okay, the hot routes, okay, that are going to happen in front of them. And we're going to see Perryman jump this hot route. And really, when you see disciplined defenses, when you see great defenses, you're going to see these guys draw basically a line. And everyone is going to kind of jump or trying to step in front of these routes at the same exact time. It's called squeezing the zones, okay? And instead of that happening, we're going to see Perryman jump in front of this, but Hobbs kind of hesitate, and it's going to open up a big hole right here in the zone. Okay, Hobbs hesitates. I think he's confused about the call. Usually they're not in these kind of too high looks. Okay, so I think he thinks he needs to stay as wide as this guy, like he usually is in cover three, but you got a squat corner out there. You got a hard flat foot corner who's playing the out. Okay, he's got that. Hobbs needs to jump in front of this right here. Okay, this is an interception. Take, you know, pick six to the house for Nate Hobbs. Missed opportunity right there. Okay. Here's another one. They're gonna come down, they're gonna play a blitz look. And right now, Hobbs is basically gonna have man-to-man with this tight end right here. I believe this is tight end. Maybe it's wide receiver, it doesn't matter. Okay, and he has inside leverage, which is fine. Usually single high blitzes, cover one blitzes, okay? Usually it's inside leverage, man coverage across the NFL and college. That's usually how it's played. My problem right now is you see him open up and turn when he's got a really wide cushion, okay? So he's obviously maybe a little afraid of getting beat deep here. Doesn't want to get beat deep. Just stay on top of everything, okay? But what happens as a result is we're a little late breaking. Okay, and we give up a big catch at the sticks, okay, on a third and long. Okay, now, if you want to see kind of like what the technique should be, okay, watch Casey Hayward. Keep in mind, this is where the sticks are. Watch Casey Hayward's feet, okay? He's going to keep his feet slow, keep his feet at the sticks, okay, maintain that inside leverage, but keep his feet at the sticks, reroute this guy, knowing this is where he wants to turn. This is where he wants to go. Okay, so Casey Hayward puts his body in front, does not open the gate, doesn't open too early, plays the sticks. Nate Hobbs got to have that attention to detail as he keeps on going and getting better as a corner, as a cover guy. Okay, here's another one. This is just kind of him. I think they schemed him clearly. Okay, we're going to get an out. We need him again. Drop to the bottom of the numbers. Sail this. Okay. But when he sees this guy coming out here, he jumps in front. No one is on the wheel. Okay, that's Nate Hobbs' guy. He just got schemed. Okay, he got schemed. He got. It's all good. It happens to the best of us. right? Okay, so I've been crapping on Nate Hobbs. Let me get back. He's going to get a little slot fade right here. Okay, he does a great job. Okay, working over the trash. He was in a tough spot. He has that space in between him. He doesn't get his head around until he gets his hands on, and then he can get his head around. Does a great job playing that, disrupting that timing. Okay, so he had something good. He had a good one. Okay, and now here's another one. Nate Hobbs, he's in man coverage. They're playing man coverage on a third and long, and you see him here at the top of the route. I think that he got leaned on a little bit. I think he needs to hold on, and I think he needs to grab here, to be quite honest with you. That's how you change the directions with these bigger receivers who are trying to push off with you. And I think that this is NFL open, and the pass rush kind of allowed that, you know, this ball to sail and be late and Nate Hobbs to recover, in my opinion. But he did get the pass break up there because he didn't give up, and that is part of the game. Balls are going to come out, you know, errant. They're going to be tipped, you know, all that stuff. Okay. And we see it here. We're going to get, the pass rush from Max Crosby. Okay. Great little window wiper. Double arm swipe, hits this ball, wobbles it a little bit, allows Hobbs.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To come fight back, recover, make the pass break up. So great job for Nate Hobbs. Now, I think that's a great segue into the pass rush, because that's really where this defense was making its hay. It had a just incredible, incredible day rushing the passer. They were, you know, peeling their ears back all game long. This is a great one. Watch Quentin Jefferson here, okay? He's going to take this little jab step and look over at Max Crosby like they're running a stunt, okay? And watch what that does to this guard. He looks back. He peeks back at Max Crosby, just takes his eyes off the ball for just a second, almost like a little coffee house stunt, okay? Here's another one, this time for Max Crosby. He gets a little quick set. So he gets jammed. He gets hit hard. So now he's got to recover. He's going to plant off his outside foot. Okay, come down, chase down the quarterback. I cannot believe Justin Herbert didn't fumble right there. That's incredible grip strength. But a great sack off of his second reaction play for Max Crosby. Here's another one for Max Crosby. Okay, just incredible job getting underneath, full extension underneath, low man wins, just bullies him back right back into the quarterback. Herbert's knee hit the ground before he got that ball off, so that's a sack for Max Crosby. And then here's another one from Quentin Jefferson, I believe here. He's going to just so much range as a rusher from Quentin Jefferson. You're going to see him come all the way to the opposite side of that hash and just really stress these guards laterally. You know, these guards have to set so far one way or the other when they're working with Quentin Jefferson. And you see him just win right here off the edge, just work the corners of that guard right there. Okay. Cleveland Furrow also got in on some pressure as well right there. And then we're going to see another one from Max Crosby here. This is a great pass rush, even though it didn't result in a sack. Okay, you see him fighting to get those hands off, affect the ball, hit the ball out. Okay, Max Crosby, phenomenal effort, incredible day rushing the passer. I mean, the pass rush was the difference. Quentin Jefferson also deserves a lot of credit. Now we're going to see Darius Vineland do his work against the run. Okay, we're going to get a little double A-gap look. Bradley likes to do this against heavy run and obvious run situations. But the remarkable thing about this play, and judging from KJ Wright's path, I'm not sure if this is necessarily planned or if this is just Filon making a split-second decision. You're going to see him right as soon as the ball is snapped go back door against here. Even though he's lined up in the A gap, he's going to go back door straight into the B gap, okay, and kind of throw this whole thing off. It's already blown up. He's already blown this up. Darius Filon now in the B gap. They were not expecting that. Okay. Gets in for a run stuff, and probably the most probably the most scrutinized decision to go for it on fourth and two in the history of football on your own 18-yard line. So Darius Filon has the distinction of making that play. Here's another run stop here. All right, this isn't a run stop. This is a gain. We're going to see both linebackers, you know, just get blocked, open up a big lane here. Okay, so they weren't perfect against the run. They gave up a couple ones. Divine Diablo got caught on the touchdown. I didn't add that in here. But most of the run plays, I would say, look something like this. Got Phylon getting into the backfield, okay, causing a little bit of a bubble. Guys changing directions at the last second, okay? And then everyone meeting at the ball carrier. This is how the Raiders were playing the run. We're going to see another one right here. This guard is going to try a double Phylon, falls on the ground. So Perryman knows, okay, nope, there's no one who can come get me. Let me just go and meet this guy in the hole. Great job, Max Crosby. Also got in on that run stuff right there. Here's another one. This time, we're going to get Solomon Thomas going back shoulder or back door here, okay? Gets into the backfield, forces this wide bubble here from this running back. And this tackle, this guard, they're blocking these guys this way. They want them to go that way, okay? Because the whole run scheme is supposed to hit right here, okay? So Solomon Thomas going back door, okay, just blows this all up. These guys, these guards and tackles thinking that they're blocking someone, but the running back is running right into the guy that they're blocking. So great job, Solomon Thomas. He did it there. And then this is a Max Crosby example, you know, him coming off the edge, okay, beating this guy underneath. And I think that this has kind of like become a calling card for Max Crosby. We can go and kind of run this back. Getting, you know, these kind of base blocks where the guard, the tackle is going upfield and you're getting that kind of block down. And Max Crosby is consistently kind of just, I don't even know, like he's Euro stepping these guys, okay, you know, getting the arm under, ripping underneath them and making plays against the run. And I think that that's a rare thing. Usually when defensive ends get this kind of base block and they make a play against the run, it's because they wrong arm or spill it and try to and kind of jump inside. So for Max Crosby to consistently kind of make these plays going all the way around, you know, these kind of base blocks, I think is pretty impressive for Max Crosby. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, go super in-depth with this 4th and 10 and this, you know, 3rd yeah. and 10, you know, all that, but a lot of times it was, you know, sometimes it was a mistake. Sometimes it was just like a blown coverage, you know. But when you have that much volume, there's going to be a lot of examples of a lot of different things, right? Yeah. But I thought that for the most part, the corners, Casey Hayward, Desmond Trufant, Brandon Faison, they competed well. They made it tough. They made even if they gave up a catch, it was a contested catch. But it was kind of like, you know, some blown coverages on the inside, really on the interior. That was the bigger concern.
Yeah, yeah. So when I watched it, man, I basically saw everything that you saw. So, I mean, it's really nothing for me to say. It's crazy. I think Max Crosby and Quentin Jefferson really dominated that game inside. And it, you know, Jefferson, I think he has 18 pressures the past, I don't know, like 3 weeks or something like that. So
yeah,
he's been balling like crazy. He's gonna have, you know, if he keeps playing like he's playing, that's gonna be awesome for this defense going forward, especially in this next matchup. Because you know, when you're showing the pass rush portion, you know, Herbert was getting rid of that damn ball, right? He was getting rid of it, and he wasn't taking sacks. And you know, if you know they get the pressure like that this week, I mean, the guy they're playing this week is gonna try to make a play. He's going to try to get out of there and break tackles. So they could be relentless, you know, if they could be relentless rushing the passer, I think they'll be better on the back end. Cause I still think the way this team is set up, I mean, they have a lot of the cover three and all that stuff. It's not a great matchup for what the Bengals like to do. So just to see that, you know, that pass rush, if they can just keep that going this week, man, it's going to be awesome. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up. I think that, to be quite honest with you, I think that the scheme technically is fine against the Bengals.
Yeah.
it just comes down to winning these like individual matchups. And like oftentimes you'll see quarterbacks like shy away from like tossing it deep against this team. Yeah. Because the corners are just sitting on the fade like all game. Like it's like you can throw any other route, it's open. But like the fade, we're on top of that. Like you're not gonna get as beat as deep with that fade stuff. But Ja'Marr Chase is such a beast, and Joe Burrow has proven that he's like, okay, I don't care, I'm gonna throw it, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I think they might get tested a lot more than you know, I think we've seen like in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, but you know, it's windy and you know.
Okay, true.
Homeboy got the greatest arm in the world. That's for sure. So we'll see how that thing's whipping through the wind, regardless. But
right.
Yeah. So you know, it's gonna be interesting, man. I just think sometimes in that game, it's like where you show that they had the good coverage and they made a simple mistake, and this Herbert just was, you know, he just kind of got his guts, man. You know, showed me a lot. You know, I was just happy he didn't finish, so we didn't have to hear he's John Elway for a whole offseason. So
yeah,
I was happy about that.
Yeah, you know? definitely happy about that. 100%.
He's John Elway.
Yeah. But I am impressed. I will tip my hat to Gus Bradley. We saw him try some new things. There were some different two high looks. They're playing some of these things a little differently than they had before. The three deep man under, three man rush, like whoa, where what is this? So he had some new stuff. So credit to him. But you also saw those were like some of the low lights for the Raiders, and that goes back to why Gus Bradley doesn't do that is because his thing is like it's not about having like a great call. It's just about being fundamentally sound, right? So when you have these new things, when you try these new things that are just like situational defenses, once in a blue moon kind of defenses, you open up the chances of kind of having like that one of those mental flaws, right? Like a mental lapse.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they just tighten that up and they can still play those looks, but just with you know some better awareness, like you know Nate Hobbs jumping that on fourth and two, right? But we'll see. We'll see. But I was surprised. I was surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. I know you guys love Justin Herbert. I know. Everybody loves him. Everybody.
Oh, Justin, you're so tall and you throw so hard.
Yeah, I know. I know you guys love him. All right.
Bro, I'm recording that. That's going to be on the promo.
It's funny. Okay. I just know. Everybody's like, oh, God.
They're so great.
Make the playoffs. That's hilarious. Make the playoffs.
Right.
All right. Here we go. It's my turn. Finally. We figured this out. Here we go. Where's my video? I hit out. My video up. There you are. Here we go. So we're going to talk about a little Marcus Mariota here, right? Marcus Mariota package, right? So a lot of what happened here is just Mariota is not reading this stuff correctly. Okay. Now, I talked about this, and you know, we talked about this a lot on this show, how Marcus Mariota never really was a zone read, counter bash type of guy. Like he's not Lamar Jackson. Okay. And he knows he was a quarterback that could run. Right. So now we got him in this position where he's supposed to be, you know, we're treating him like he's Lamar Jackson. This is Lamar Jackson stuff. This is like Greg Roman, right? You got 13 personnel here, guys, right? We got Derek Carrier, Foster Moreau, and Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller. This is like straight from the Greg Roman playbook right here, right? So, and you know, we got a simple inside zone read still, all right? So we go check this out. Right, so pause it right here. Let me get the full circle going. So, right, he's reading Uwosu right here, right? That's what you're doing when you're playing inside zone read, right? Especially, you know, maybe you got the fake arc read right here. I mean, there's some cool stuff that Greg Olsen is doing with this, but I mean, he's just not Lamar Jackson. So you see here, right? There's a defensive end. He's not crashing. So usually if they crash, right, you keep. If he stays, you give. It's just that he's not crashing. I don't know what he's thinking here, but he decides to keep. All right, so he keeps it. Now, you see where Josh Jacobs, right? There's this, look at that lane. I don't know what safety's up there. I don't see any safeties up there, guys. I don't know. Maybe this guy makes a tackle. Maybe he makes it a right. I don't know. Maybe he gets past Simpson. I'm just saying, if he gives it and Jacobs just goes, I mean, there's, you know, we might get our 50-yard touchdown. We went from Jacobs. But instead, you know, here he comes. He comes outside. Nothing. Boom. Gets popped through by Derwin James. Good Lord. Go back and see that tackle. God damn. You know, people want to love Justin Herbert. Let's love some Derwin James here. Oh, God damn. All right, here we go. Now, this is the one that, you know, we could talk about a little bit. That this is a really cool. All right, this is some dope stuff right here. All right. So we got the RPO mixed in with this one. All right, so we got the arc read, RPO, okay? Now, you're going to see Derek Carrier right here. He's going to come out on the arc read, but Foster Moreau is going to run a corner out, okay? Foster Moreau is going to run a corner route, all right? So we're going to get the arc read, corner route from Marcus Mariota. So here we go. Let's run this. All right. So everybody's crashing. Everybody's got their eyes on Marcus Mariota, right? Oh, my God. Look. And there's Foster Moreau just running wide open. Nothing there, but he gave the ball to Jalen Richard. And he does it a little – right? So, I mean, this is – I'm really mad they put this on tape, to be honest. I mean, if you're not going to throw this – you just put it on tape like that, because now the Bengals, they might see it. Like, they're going to be, okay, let's make sure we got this guy coming out. I mean, that's one of those plays you only get hit like once, and they didn't hit it. So it's very frustrating for me that they put that on tape like that and didn't hit that play. And then we hit it. You watch from the back end, kind of see maybe why Mariota gave this football, right? So, you kind of see right here, maybe he sees that he's not going to be able to get outside Joey Bosa, but I mean, you have to see these guys at the second level are crashing, which means, you know, you got this corner route option that's wide open for a touchdown. I mean, you can see, right, everything around here, that's a touchdown, man. But instead, we don't get anything. I mean, then they get a conversion, but, you know, it worked out later on, but it's all right. But that hurt. All right, so you got the reverse one right here. Which, you know, I thought this was actually not a bad play call. You got to take this back a little bit. We watch this one, right? So we get to Jacobs, right? So I was really scared about this exchange. Look at that. That's a bad exchange right there. I was terrified of it when I was watching it live on the broadcast. I was like, oh, my God, he's about to fumble. But they got it. and then they got it to Darren Waller here, right? And, you know, it's just Derwin James again. It's Derwin James. And, this is just Derwin James blowing this play up because, you know, you got Josh Jacobs versus Derwin James here. And he says, no, I'm going to make this tackle. Just a bad man. God, Lord. He's a bad man. good thing you're pretty good, Colton. Good thing you're pretty good over there, Mr. Miller. Because, man. All right, arc read again, right? So this time we're going to watch this arc read and watch how they play this arc read RPO again, which is, this is why I didn't like this play and why they didn't hit it the first time, okay? So let's watch how they play the arc read again, right? So this time they definitely crash, right? But, you know, they're all over it. Look at Derwin James. He's waiting for Foster Moreau this time, right? They get out there, though. Good block by Foster. Get in the way. Gets in 15. So that's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm so mad about that they didn't hit that play the first time, because the adjustments. Now they see this again, right? Like, can you do this against the Bengals, getting the same formation again? Probably not. Jesse Bates could be all over that, right? And it's just not there. But, I mean, you could think you could also look at it this way. It makes it maybe a touchdown if they play it like that. So they got to make a decision. So it might work out. You know, they got to make a decision. You get to creep up and stop Mariota, or you let him throw a touchdown. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the next one. Here we got another one here. Check this one out. All right. And this one's just simple, you know, zone read. I mean, that's what we're doing here. Okay. Now, there's two things on this one, okay? He could have gave this ball, because if he gives this ball, I didn't show it from the non-end zone angle, because I can't think of the angle name right now. But I mean, there's basically 3-on-3 over here, because you have Zay Jones is about to get in front of Joey Bosa, which you can make the, maybe he's probably not gonna block him, maybe, right? But there's 3-on-3 over here, right? But there also is nobody over here, so I see what Mariota was thinking, and really this play is really all about Foster Moreau not blocking Gil number 32, right? So here we go, right? Keeps it. And I mean, it should be a touchdown, but I don't know what Foster Moreau is doing. I don't know what he's looking back at. Maybe he's expecting him to give the ball. I'm not sure, but he just lets 32 go. 32 makes a great tackle.
Only Alohi Gilman could have made that tackle because he's also Hawaiian. It was a Hawaiian thing. He just sensed it.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is? All right. Let's go here. All right. So here we got the little counter bash, which I really like how this is designed. And this really worked the first time they did it, right? So, you know, they really weren't expecting this. They're expecting some kind of zone read. They're not really expecting the counter bash. You see how Joey Bosa is playing this, right? He's playing for his own read, not a counter bash. That's why you see 99. Jerry Tillery, who's right past Andre James, he is crashing to try to stop the zone read, right? Boom. He makes a tackle on Hunter Renfro. Good hole there. Good job finding him by Mariota. You get 8. Right? So, good job there by Mariota. But then, hey, let's go ahead and run the same play again. Same exact play. Let's not switch it up. All right? So, guess what happens? The whole team just crashes. Right? Look at everybody. This is like a full all-out blitz. They're all crashing. Why? Because it doesn't matter if he either hands it to Hunter Renfro, 42 got him. And you're going to see that Kenneth Murray is about to be right in Marcus Mariota's face. So even if he gave this ball and kept it, right, and he tried to get past it, I mean, it wouldn't be as a big of a loss, but it's a loss. That's a loss of 4. Right? So it just didn't work this time. You know, it got a little out of hand there. Yeah, we got a little too cute, which I would say. I mean, after the first bash, that's when we should have put this guy in, because I really feel like he would have closed this game out. Side rant, they didn't give him the ball in the fourth quarter at that point in time. That bothers me watching him run. So we're all going to watch him run overtime and just think on how on that possession, they didn't give this guy the ball. All right, so let's go ahead and start this off. We got a little mid zone, right? Start off a little mid zone here. Boom, that's your three-way go. But watch this great decision here by Josh Jacobs, right? I mean, some people would have took this comeback, but you got Kenneth Murray right there. But you hit that bounce, boom. Perfect decision. Hit that bounce, boom. You know, then you know what I'm saying? One of his 12 missed tackles he had, which is crazy, right? Break a tackle, make a play, get 28. That's what we want to see. We want to see them big chunk runs, right, from Josh Jacobs. Mid zone again. Let's get some more mid zone going here, right? Good blocking from the line, right? And you already see the comeback coming over here. Open it up, right? You think, okay, so Josh Jacobs, he thought about it too, right? You know, take it back a little bit. You see how he thought about that cutback, right? He thought about it. You see, he kind of made that juke position, but, you know, Derwin James is coming. Yeah, I think he saw Derwin. Smart decision there, Josh, right? And I love this patience, right? Because, you know, Lester Cotton is getting blown up here. He's got to get blown up into Josh Jacobs as well. And this shows come back to his trust too, because Josh could have just like already did a whole bunch of things here. He could have just cut back, right, already. But he showed a lot of patience. He waited, showed a lot of trust, right? Everything's blown up. Andre James actually, that's a good block by Andre James to open this up, right? And then you got Leatherwood and Simpson working over here. Or not Simpson, sorry, Leatherwood and Parker working over here, right? And Josh Jacobs, patience. Find that hole. It's awesome. 17. Beautiful. That's how you run, dog. That's how you run. Mid-zone, right here you go. Mid-zone again, right? They kind of get blown up. Here, we got Lester Cotton in the game. So, really didn't work out. Linval Joseph just puts Andre James on his knees, got some praying. Then Kaiser White blew up Lester Cotton. Nothing, right? And, you know, they ended up getting a field goal out of that one. So, the final drive, right? Final drive. Got some inside zone slice going here, right? A little split zone. You would like to call it here, right? So split zone. Great patience here. Watch Jacobs pressing the line. Watch him. He's pressing the line. He's pressing the line here, BD. Presses the line. You already see that cutback. Boom. Hit that cutback. Get eight. Man, he runs like this. I'm telling you, bro. Right here. So we got some more mid zone here. We get a little mid zone, right? More mid zone. Good block. Get to the second level by Simpson right there. Good job. Right. And I want to bring this because we got to talk about this. Him jumping over somebody, right? So, you know, nobody blows a block, right? So he gets outside. You know, he maybe could have cut in there, but this is fine. We're okay. Right. And then watch him just jump over Joey Bosa, right? He's going to jump in the air. Right. 7. Right, so that sets up the clincher, okay? You know, you just had the timeout. You know, Raiders were thinking about, hey, we could just get out of here with a tie. And Josh Jacobs, he says, no, we're not tying this game, right? So here we go. Josh Jacobs, inside zone slice again, okay? Now, Colton Miller's losing here. It's getting blown up, right? This is going to free up Kaiser White here to make this play. Right. And he's going to be perfectly in this gap. Kaiser where it plays this perfectly. Look at it. Even beats keeps Johnson's from getting on him when he's trying to get to the second level for the split zone. He plays it perfectly. He's right in the gap. Look at that. Look at him. Perfect position for Kaiser White. Couldn't play this any better. But Josh Jacobs said, no, I'm going to get past it. I'm going to set you up and you're going to run into Colton Miller. And I'm going to get back up field. And I'm going to get 10. And I'm going to break a tackle. Look at that. That's what you, and let's go to the playoffs. This is the play. What, Mr. Samuel here? Get baptized out of the playoffs. I'm sorry. I just had to do that, guys. All right. And, you know, Bryan Edwards, look at that. Look at Bryan Edwards. I just want to start it off with a little physicality. This is why I knew Bryan Edwards came to play. He was here. He came to play today. Little chip block. Look at 95 on the ground. There we go. Right? And then here's him making a play on this one for his quarterback on the little scramble drill. Good catch. I know he's mad at himself. He didn't get past this one. He's all right. It's all right. Brian, we see you. We see you out here, dog. So, you know, I just want to show Brian Harris a love. I mean, really, he didn't do anything too great in this game, but I just thought he came to play. Like, getting the chips going. He just did his job. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't pout. Like, let's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. Showed up to play. He's not getting the targets he likes, but he came and started and made some plays, some key plays in this game, actually, after this one. And he almost made the catch of his life, which, man, you get 2 feet down like this. Just give it to him, ref. Just give it to him, man. Just give it to him. But, you know, I think, you know, there's three by one fades with Bryan Edwards. I mean, they had the one with, I showed on the Carfax today with Cleveland. I mean, they're doing all right. I mean, that's just a great play by Michael Davis. I mean, Michael Davis ripping that ball out late. That was a great play by him. But you know, this is the drive starter for the game winning drive, right? We got a little Yankee here, right? Carter's going to try to force it over Kenneth Murray. Has to throw it low with Michael Davis right over his top of him. And Bryan Edwards does a good job making that catch for him, right? It's a tough catch. Make that catch for your quarterback. Big play. That was a big catch right there. Started the drive. So as I'm saying, he has some key plays in this game. Man, you know, like that, not every play shows him the stat sheet, all the chipping that he's asked to do. He did it to his best ability. I like that, right? You know, you like how you make plays and then you get more opportunities, man. That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know, man. Josh Jacobs got me hyped, dog. I don't know. I'm hyped for Josh Jacobs, right? Like that. That's what I'm talking about, like that physicality, like in the cold, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not the easiest to tackle in the cold. And you got a running back that is just putting that physicality on you and making you feel it when you're tackling somebody in the cold like that, man. That's what you need. You need that. So, yeah, you got to make that happen.
Right. 100%. I think it's great watching the breakdown because – we're seeing Josh Jacobs get back to, like, basically we haven't seen him run like this for a long time, you know. So for him to be peaking at this point in the year, that's perfect. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
For Josh Jacobs. So got to love that. Super geek to see that. And he's going into the postseason with his fewest carries of his career, right? Because this year he had the fewest carries so far. So I think that – hopefully he bodes well. Hopefully he's healthy and, you know, and we see that running because that's huge. That is a game changer. That's a difference maker. His first step is so explosive.
Yeah.
You know, like he immediately slows down, you know, like after like two, three steps, you know, but that first step is so explosive. Like he can go laterally with just like so much energy, so much burst that he just breaks these guys' angles in these short areas that they're just like not expecting him being able to like make these such sudden, like huge looping lateral cuts. So awesome to see that. Great that his ankles are healthy for all that, you know?
Yeah. And I saw somebody leave a comment. I was getting hyped. I mean, I'll tell you, man, I was hyped watching that tape when I was pulling it up, bro. Like that's especially just the last run is. That is what you when you took Josh Jacobs in the first round. You know, when you take a running back in the first round, that last run, that the third and four, that is what you're thinking. You're thinking about him finishing the game. That's why I was like that when they went to second and two. Like I don't understand. We're doing the counter bash again. Like what are we doing? Like you know how he's running right now. So give him the damn ball. And I really hope they don't get cute this weekend. You know, like just let's it. This is what
coaches always get cute, man. Coaches always get cute, man.
Especially Olsen loves to throw. I know he doesn't want to run. He wants to throw. I know.
Playoffs is the time where you see the coaches get the cutest.
Man.
I definitely agree. Gotta lean on it. Okay. I'm interested in what you saw from Darren Waller's targets.
Okay.
Like, obviously not 100% like on the same page. The chemistry needs to get back. Waller's been out for a long time. Like, did you see anything where it's like, okay, this is going to be back on Saturday?
I thought he looked 100%. I thought he looked fast. I thought he looked like he was getting out of his routes. It's just Derwin James, man. I mean, that was basically a lot of what was happening with Darren Waller out there. You got Derwin James all over you. You know, they got him with the peel route. I mean, he looks fine. I thought he had, there's some drops in there. I thought they still got a little bit of timing issues, right? They got a little bit of timing issues there on a few of those throws that you could tell. I think, you know, one time, you know, he fell on the ground and then Carr got the intentional grounding. He didn't finish running, you know, and Carr got really pissed about that when that happened. Because he knew that he got attention to grounding because he stopped running. And, you know, so there's a couple of things there that maybe, you know, the kind of little mistakes you see from a guy who's rusty a little bit, especially like the drop pass one of the drop passes he had. But I still thought he looked really fast. I thought he looked really good. The most concerning thing that I watched on this tape is that Zay Jones is running deep routes again. So that was concerning. But other than that, everything, and then that's come. I think also Waller's back, so he's the intermediate guy now again. And then we got, like, I mean, at this point, I'm like, can you just make Waller the deep guy then? If you have to have a deep guy, Greg Olsen, you have one who's 250 pounds and runs a 4.4, and then if Carr misses, could probably catch it still.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right.
And you know, I was on the Rare Candy show earlier, and I was talking about how, you know, if Darren Waller is the post route on the Yankee, like, what is everybody going to do? You know, like, they're all going to fall back. I mean, especially the Bengals. I mean, they're Jesse Bates and all those dudes are all going to follow him deep, and it's going to open up everything for everything else. So if he's a deep guy, we know he can't be. I mean, he last year he was running wheels. You know, he's running, you know, he can run, you know, he runs those, the wheel route on the peel pretty good. He does all those routes, right? So since he does all those routes, you know what I mean? I think if you have to have one, if you have to have the deep guy has to have the designation, it should be him, because he is your deep guy. And like I said, if Carr does underthrow it or whatever, he can make up for it. So, and that's what you want. And he can beat most people deep. He can beat corners deep. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's a slouch running deep routes. I mean, he runs really, really good deep routes too. So it's there. I mean, we saw it last year against the Dolphins. All the verticals that he was hitting against the Dolphins. Maybe it's time for him to try to do that stuff instead of just trying to, you know, like, try to pigeonhole Zay Jones into that role just because you have you need that role in your design of the West Coast offense. You have to have that guy. And I mean, that's why they went and got Deshaun Jackson instead of Odell Beckham, because they have to have that deep guy instead of just having some guy.
That's why they drafted Henry Ruggs instead of CeeDee Lamb or something like that.
Too. Yeah, exactly. Because
And so in the offense, but what I will say about using Waller as like the deep guy. So right now in the NFL, what everyone's doing is they're like tracking everyone with like the chips and seeing how far they're running, and they're keeping their, you know, keeping track of like their heart rate and everything like that and their oxygen levels. And so there's probably something where they're like, okay, Zay Jones can handle it. He's got a great fitness level. And then, you know, where they're like doing like the analytics on like the biometrics that they're gathering from these players. Yeah. I guarantee you every team's doing that, you know, at least like the training staff, at least, you know, so for them, they might be like, okay, the training staff keeps on telling us to take Darren Waller out, you know, after he runs a couple of deep routes. So don't call so many deep routes for him and he'll stay in the game or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that. I saw something with Darren Waller talking about running, catching a 65 or taking it was the reverse his first year. Mm-hmm. That was the Denver game, right? Where he took like a 65-yard reverse or something
that.
That
was the Bengals. That was his, like, his opening. That was when we're like, where all the Raiders fans were like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, he was talking about running. He was talking about running for 65 yards against in Denver in Mile High, and he was talking about how it took him a whole quarter to get his breath back, to get his, you know, to like, you know, get his lungs back, right? So there's definitely an element of keeping him fresh for the entire game.
That's true. He's got a block too, so you got a point.
Yeah,
you got a point. But you know, I saw people talking about Johnson in the comments. I mean, there's somebody like him too that you could run those deep routes, and actually is a deep route guy that has some size too. You know, he's got good size for how fast he is and how good he is. And he's made some special team plays. I think he's earned some snaps. He's, you know, he came in.
Go for it. Hell yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see it. You know.
All right, man. Any other thoughts, you know, offense?
Nope, that's it. That's it from me. We're going over on time here, so yeah, sure. We're going to have to get out of here, Raider Nation. We appreciate everyone for tuning in to Taped on Live, Raiders Film Channel, breaking down this Week 18. Feels weird saying Week 18. Week 18 win. Raiders off to the playoffs. Make sure you guys tune in. We'll be going live before the game for a preview show so we can talk about Cincinnati Bengals. You know, I'm the defense guy, Marcus is the offense guy, so we're going to be breaking down what we're seeing from the Cincinnati Bengals ahead of the Raiders matchup, so stay tuned for that. It'll come out probably Friday, right, Marcus? We're aiming to do that Friday?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, you know, then we got the Carfax. You know, my boy Bulldog was asking me about it. I'm a man of the people. I know I got kind of shocked some people earlier. Like, what the hell is this? The week 15. So, but, you know, my man Bulldog, you know, I'm a man of the people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, got some requests. You know, my dude Trey is asking us to do the Georgia game. I don't know. He's like, we might do it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Were we able to track down any leads on the All-22 for that?
I can find some. Just okay. You know, give us some time, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're for the people. So that's, you know, I put that Carfax out. Check out that one. I went over the Browns game, and you know, which is the last cold game they played in. So if you want to see Derek Carr play in the cold, or you know, that's kind of a big deal, a big thought. Go ahead and check that one out. Any other thoughts?
That's it, Raider Nation. Yep.
We're out. All right. Peace.